So, setup, punchline, cues in a pod.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog.
I'm shaking my head at both of them.
Don't even trip.
Is tonight our Halloween show?
Spooky.
Spooky skeletons.
Ooh. I'm Amber. I am an artist, farmer, Hannibal obsessed fan.
Wouldn't that be Fannibals? I'm Daniel. Actually, let me explain that for you.
It's a Fannibal. Secular. I'm also into Hanagram.
Okay, I'm Tom Quagmish, fantasy author. I enjoyed Hannibal, and tonight we're going to be talking about Halloween and fear.
And who knows how many other random tangents.
Almost definitely random tangents.
Yay, you're random welcome. Tangents. I want to draw more skeletons.
Summon good. Monsters.
So, Amber, tell us your fears.
Yes. Yes, explain them in detail.
Let's see. I am afraid of drowning.
Why?
I like breathing. Breathing's good.
So drowning would be your least favorite way to die?
Probably, yeah.
What would be your most favorite way to die?
Is it a pit of zombies? I bet it's a pit of zombies.
Yeah. Is that why you don't swim around me? Is you fear that I will drown you?
What?
Do you fear that I will drown you, Amber?
No.
Will you fear that I will drown you now?
Maybe.
In your tea?
I will push you over a cliff with me.
Stop spoiling Hannibal, Tom.
And I will drown you.
We'll be together in the water forever.
Okay. Daniel, what are your fears?
I don't know. Well, all right. So it's one of those silly. I don't know if I experience fear in a way that would make sense. Like, I know that. I experience strong aversions to certain experiences, but I don't know if like it has the same emotional content.
Daniel.
Which isn't the whole like I'm not afraid of nothing.
Daniel just has existential terrors.
Oh yeah. yes, that's yeah. The so really like you know the thing. Oh no. Okay, so yeah. So things like I used to genuinely worry that I was immortal in high school because you know the idea of walking in the infinite dusted plains of whatever's left of Earth after the sun goes supernova is, you know, kind of a distressing thought. Or worse, just floating through the galaxy. You know,
I wish I was immortal.
However many.
You'd like it for a little while, then you
would
like
to say, you could. I don't think it's possible to say that unless you have a very short-term memory. Like, I do not think that living forever would be beneficial.
Okay, how about for as long as humans exist as the way we understand them?
I guess, but what about when the singularity hits and then transhumanity supplants regular humanity?
Well, that'd still be fairly understandable.
Really?
Maybe.
Have you seen the internet? That's like 4chan is the entirety of 4chan and you know Anonymous at large is like a preview of what sort of madness will follow once humanity is freed from the shackles of
yeah, I, but if you're still able to have conversations with people, I guess maybe that's what I mean.
Yeah. So as long as intelligent life persists.
True.
Still though, like no, really, I think the thing is like the difficulty with that idea is how well you manage negative memories and emotions.
True.
Because, I think that's, I don't know, so maybe
we I'd like
talk
it.
About aging, because that's a kind of related theme. But
talking about Halloween, Daniel.
Aging? The ravages of aging!
Yes, the slow
march on my liver spots!
Where are liver spots?
Inhale spots. The chemical that allows you to tell that I'm an old person. That old people smell
it smells
real.
Like mothballs and Bengay.
Ointments. And creams.
Unguent.
Unguents, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Existential terrors, yes. Those are scary. They're not Halloween scary.
Yes, not Halloween scary. Not being able to quit playing the game.
Which game?
You know, the
any game?
Reality. So, Tom.
I lost the game.
Sure. I've had some fears. When I was in elementary school, middle school, there was this terrible show on Fox called Whoops. the premise being that accidentally there had been a nuclear apocalypse, and just this little grouping of really inept sitcom characters lived on and dealt with what was going on in this post-apocalyptic wasteland. But the idea that all it would take was, like, some dick pushing a button and all of human civilization would be gone forever.
Yeah.
Like, death would suck, but knowing that there was zero chance that any of my little memes would live on, like, just everything being pointless and life stopping, I don't like that. That bothered me. Now I don't think about it as much, so I'm better with it.
Yeah. Isn't it usually the case that, like, the survivors in the post-apocalyptic world always seem to, like, have had the shortest end of the stick? Like, in almost every setting.
Yep.
Because, you know, we're...
I don't know, I'd rather be a survivor than one of the people who died.
Well, but then you have to deal with, like, again, the actual horrors of what that reality would be like. And, like, the potential that, you know... the world, essentially the plot of Mad Max, like the world that used to exist can never happen again. Like, humans might not even be able to survive one generation.
I'd be okay with, well, like, I wouldn't be okay with that, but I'd rather that than dying.
Yeah.
What if you were selected for the stew pots? Or you know.
At least I lived slightly longer than other people.
So that to me is an interesting concept. Like, that idea that, you know, being alive is somehow, like, still valued better than non-existence, even if the being alive is, like, awful.
Well, and I'm a short history of nearly everything, which is the closest thing I have to a Bible that I will quote. You should buy it, fans, of which we have two.
And a half.
But in this book, he talks about lichen, which is a combination of, like, fungus and bacteria,
something like that.
But basically, like, they will spend 50 years to get as big as the size of a button on a shirt. And so, you know, life wants to be, but life does not want to be much. But also, life goes on. Because even if we irradiated everything, there still would probably be some kind of life. There'd be some sort of bacteria that's like, I really like radiation.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that would persist, but we would be gone.
We already might have something that really likes radiation.
Yeah, we absolutely Chernobyl. Do. Extremophiles are like
that. But really, like, it has always been the thing. It's not so much that we're ever in danger of ending life on Earth, just our life.
Right. Yeah. So the other day I was looking up at the stars, and I was saying, you know, how much I want humanity to get off this planet and infect other planets. Because right now we have all of our eggs in one basket. And, like, if a comet hits us, or things erupt, or we throw bombs, we're doomed.
But I also don't think we should just use up this planet and leave it.
No. We can do both. Why can't we save this planet and then infect others?
Yeah, and I think that's how it would have to be. Because, like, if we don't manage to, like, stabilize how we're using up this planet, like, we're definitely not going to make it out there.
Oh, no. It's going to be
centuries. Or we would, and we'd just waste all the other planets.
Well, see, I don't even think...
new ones.
Yeah, I don't know if that would even be possible. Because, like, we still, at this point, would have to terraform everything else. So, you know, how long could we last if we're stuck on only, like, two or three food crops and, you know, maybe no water or... having to manufacture all the water. Because Mars isn't habitable yet.
Yeah. Mars doesn't even have women.
Yeah.
Do the girl aliens have titties, Tom?
What?
That is
Do they
question.
Have titties?
Because, man, like, even XCOM did that. Like, they have these snake aliens, and for some... Well, you know, I know why. For fan service. Like, now all of a sudden they're ladies, and they have boobs. And it makes even less sense because, one, they're aliens, and two, they're aliens based on reptiles. So, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if they're mammal-based, but
well,
still.
Well, okay, maybe they could make the... Like, they are supposedly splicing human DNA in there, so maybe...
So they got the titty gene?
And only, yes, just enough, because otherwise they're just, like, snake monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know...
Snake monsters with titties.
That's right.
Do the male ones have cocks?
You know, we can't tell.
Ideally, I think they should both have cloaca.
Well,
and they should just rub their uglies against each other.
More accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
or a hemipenis like sharks have.
Or some reptiles, some lizards, have two penises and they just masturbate with one and they store that up. So they can just fling semen at your face.
Hopefully not your face. You think they'd try and aim for your cloaca. Yeah.
You would hope. But what if they're like Migs from Silence of the Lambs?
That's true.
No.
Yeah.
Or maybe they could do it like scorpions. Scorpions essentially like the male deposits his like a little packet of his sperm on the ground, and then they essentially like waltz until he like positions her over it, and then she picks it up.
Then he like body slams her right in the sperm.
There are some female creatures that hold on to sperm too.
Actually, a large percentage of female insects especially are capable of picking and choosing.
Yeah.
Before we leave scorpions, there are some species of scorpion that can like break its tail off like if it's threatened, and it breaks its anus off with it, and so it doesn't have an anus anymore, and so it just fills up with feces till it explodes. But it gets away from that one fight.
Wait, but its anus doesn't heal fast enough?
No, I guess it just like crossed over or something. It no longer has an anus, so it fills up with feces. And it explodes.
Aww.
That is an interesting adaptation.
Yeah, I feel like something went wrong there. I get we want to escape. I can grow a new one of these. But you took the anus.
See, it's probably another one of those things where like it just must not come up often enough to impede the breeding strategy. So there's no reason to select away from the gene.
I don't know.
Because that's really the only way that you have advancement is like if a defect is significant enough to stop reproduction. Yeah. So, you know.
Or limit reproduction.
Yeah. But again, like I always go to herpes because it's one of humanity's oldest friends.
That is true.
And it's because it does not stop us at all. Or it doesn't impair us anyways.
Hi, baby.
Spooky things.
Spooky.
Lack of an anus is pretty spooky.
Yeah. I know that's like, you know, that's another one of the becoming one of those sort of old people wisdoms is like any day you can have a bowel movement is a good day. And
wow.
if you've ever been impacted, you immediately understand why.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's right.
This went to a dark place, but not body, the dark place I expected it to.
Body horror, y'all.
Body horror. That at least makes me uncomfortable. Like, I've definitely watched... Like, I can't watch people get hypodermic needles. I can watch them get their arms chopped off in movies.
Yeah.
But if you want to, like, inject something into the stump, I flinch and turn away.
See, I much prefer external injuries to internal injuries. Like, that when that guy in Unbreakable falls down the stairs...
Okay.
But if, like, he was openly bleeding, I'd be more okay with it.
Yeah. I wonder... That is interesting. Like, I do wonder why. Like, there are definitely... Like, as violence in movies has gotten more realistic, like, with the way that impacts are depicted and things, like, that definitely does get harder to watch sometimes. Like, even though I really like Haywire as a movie, like, it is... There are certain fight sequences where, like, the way she gets hit just sort of makes me, like, cringe a little bit.
Well,
I even cringed at Rick and Morty, because there was an episode... Because recently, his eyes were, like, pressed in, but when they were fighting with that guy, I was like, holograph, I don't like that.
Yeah, that was intense.
That's because you have mirror neurons and you can relate to Rick Sanchez.
Yes, that man, that show...
Eyes are especially sensitive.
Yeah, that is, like, one of the bigger ones that, like, a lot of people have difficulty with.
But you mentioned movies. Are there any movies that actually have frightened you or made you uncomfortable after watching them?
So here, you know, kind of getting to things that might have actually, like, scared me. So the 1990 remake of The Blob actually distressed me a lot. And the reason it distressed me, not necessarily anything in the movie, like it has some great, you know, like guy getting dissolved in front of you scenes, but it was the idea of the monster. Like, it wasn't something you could fight if it existed, and that was what bugged me. But it did result in me being unable to drink anything I couldn't see to the bottom of for at least a year.
I can see that.
But yeah, it's always kind of been that, like, conceptual ideas, because, like, you know, the werewolf or Frankenstein or any of those, like, my brain immediately can synthesize ways to fight them. Like, it's like, oh, well, okay, werewolves, I know what to do there. You stab it in the face with something silver. But, you know, the blob, it's just fire and maybe cold, and neither of those things are really easy to get access to in a short period of time.
I can't think of any movies off the top of my head, like, at least that have, like, haunted me afterward, usually. But definitely when we were watching the first season of American Horror Story, like, I had some, like, I had, what is it, the hypnagogic hallucination from it, and, like, a couple nightmares, like, bad dreams, I guess. I don't really have nightmares.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that, and I'm not sure exactly, like, and none of the other American Horror Stories did it at all. Like, the other American Horror Stories, it was just that first one that was pretty creepy.
Okay. Well, I've spoken to you about the perils of Punky. There was a Halloween Punky Brewster episode, which I saw when I was, I'm going to say 4 or 5. I was tiny. And I remember this as, like, the peak of horror. Like, one of her friends get picked off one by one in horror movie fashion. Right. And then they come back as, like, monsters to hunt her.
Yeah, well, that idea is always, like, that's, like, a staple of horrors, is the idea of the turned friends.
And I rewatched it with Amber, let's say 25 years afterward. It does not hold up.
No, I imagine it doesn't. But also, like, when you're a kid, again, your brain is always, like, your brain will correct so many mistakes and things. Yes. Like, especially as a kid, like, you essentially, anything you imagine, you experience as though it were real anyways.
So, and especially if you don't know enough to be critical of it.
Oh, right, right.
Well, I remember one of her friends, like, you see his face embedded in rock and it's, like, pushing out, going, Punky. Which, again, is really lame when I watch it now.
Right,
but because of that, I had to sleep dead center in my bed. I was in bunk bed, so there was, like, a cross beam.
Yeah.
Because otherwise something could push out of the wall and get me. Or, of course, it could just come on the open side and get me.
Yeah.
But if I was dead center, at least I had, like, a fraction of a second to be protected so I could fight back.
Well, and isn't that's, like, something that I do find interesting, is, like your childhood defense strategies for things. Like, I also had, of course, Alien was one of my favorite movies. But, again, the idea of it was so distressing that, like, I would... had to develop like the reflex to sleep with my hand over my mouth for a while, because, you know, that'll stop it from getting in your mouth. That's
perfect sense.
That's interesting.
As a kid, I was also scared of the thing that scared pretty much every kid, is the scary stories books, like the short stories, specifically the one about the thing that you, like, eat its tail or something and then it comes back, that one. And there's another one that about skinning someone for a scarecrow. That was haunting too.
The pictures definitely are much more affecting than actual
Yeah, they had a really good, like, illustrator for that.
I think they have made them more child friendly recently. They have.
Almost everything is super child friendly now, and then we're gonna wonder why.
Including,
like,
Guess Who.
What? The game?
Guess Who the game? How, like, it used to be, like, you had sad faces and you have different emotions, and I think you even had different, like, races, but now it's pretty much like
one black person.
Okay, maybe that. Now it's pretty much like this happy person or that happy person, like, just all happy.
Yeah, which I don't know. Like that kind of gets into the argument of, you know, is it good to keep your children, like, is it good to perpetuate the illusory concept of childhood that we've developed for young humans? Like, is it good for them to grow up not understanding that, you know, the reality of the world? Not knowing.
Guess Who was an awesome game, and it's cool though. I thought so, at least.
Like that's one thing I kind of liked about Inside Out. Like, its premise is that it was all like, no, wait, you need the sadness part. Like, it's and this is what happens if you try to force the happiness part.
And that's actually, I want to tie back into the sadness, because the only horror movies that really stick with me are ones where there's sadness too. Like The Orphanage, where, you know, spoilers, audience, but it turns out that when she thinks she's being haunted, it's because her HIV-infected son is in the basement, like, injured and trying to, like, knock on pipes to get through to her, and then he falls down. But, like, because of the sadness, I see an effect to the horror, and it actually ramps it up. Like, if I just see, oh, there's a serial killer, he's trying to stab people, oh no, stab, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
It's like watching a video game, but like, he killed Kelly. Oh my god, he killed Kelly, she was my world. Like, if someone's actually upset, it's like, I can relate to what you're feeling now. I can't relate to being chased by a serial killer, but I can relate to that. And so then I can attach the horror aspect.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, it is definitely like, that's why Game of Thrones is so effective, is it does spend the time of getting you attached to characters before ripping them away from you. Like, it's a similar, even though he's not going for the horror effect, he's still, you know, like it's necessity. Yes, you have to create context, and that's a big part.
And I think you also need, like, lulls in it. Because if it's just, like, constant horror. What I don't like in horror, and which I know we were watching an episode of The Walking Dead, and someone cracked a joke, and I'm like, oh, now they're going to come back, and something horrific is going to be right there. Because you were just cracking a joke. Like, it was so telegraphed that I'm just like, buy the books.
Well, that's a different problem in modern media of not trusting the audience enough. Like, I wouldn't even be able to enumerate the number of times I've heard that argument in, like, you know, things that review movies and shows and stories where they lament where, you know, you can always tell where the director, where the writer, like, decided, no, wait, I can't trust the audience to figure this out themselves, so I'm going to have, like, three other characters say the same thing just to make sure, you know, so that the one guy who doesn't get it doesn't feel bad about himself or... Yeah, it's unfortunate. Again, like, I think that's why, like, you know, the things that have been blowing up have been things that don't necessarily, you know, pander to you. They kind of trust themselves enough to, you know, let you figure it out or just make you figure it out by showing it to you rather than having,
Or, you know, encourage you to watch it more than once to figure it out.
Yes, yeah, that's a good thing, generally. But then you don't. Then you're not as hungry for the next thing because maybe you're spending time, like, you know, finding new hidden depths in the old thing, and that's not very profitable for capitalism.
It is if you get ad revenue each time they watch it, regardless of it's new or old.
I think with all of this, I think what we really need is characters we care about.
Yes.
Like when we saw Wreck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
that was cool.
Yeah, like...
Oh, yeah. REC, it's a Spanish horror film.
Yeah. I believe they remade it as Contagion in America. They made it bad. I know there are sequels to Wreck. I have not seen any of those. But I do know that I very much related to the main character. I understood why she was doing what she did.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the blocks they put in front of her. Like, it wasn't like, why are you going back in that house? No, call the police! Like, they locked her in there. She couldn't get out.
Right.
Like, her conflict made sense.
Yeah,
so
the police were there. Like,
they were keeping you in there.
Yeah.
You know, and society turning against you. That's what's scary. And I think that's really what is lacking in a lot of horror movies, where it's just like, why? You can get out of this so quickly.
Right. You cell phones exist.
Yeah.
Just call.
Cell phones have ruined so many movies. They're so convenient.
They are.
We watched The Wet Hot... What is it?
American Summer, yeah.
Wet Hot American Summer, the television series.
Yeah.
And in it, at one point, the guy pulls out an iPhone and isn't talking on it. And one of the guys will go, what's that metal thing in your hand? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Because it's based in 1980-something.
Oh, okay.
Something.
All right. So,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But like if you actually, and again, like I think we've discussed this before, like the reason they usually come up with, you know, cheap ways to kill that is because it's way harder and, you know, so it's always going to be harder, but I think it's definitely worthwhile to take that extra effort to, like, account for, you know, the other variables if you can.
Or at least give a reason why they didn't use their, like, even, like, there could be some emotional reason they don't use it.
Well, that's still slightly harder to buy unless, because, like... I mean,
if you set up that somebody
has social anxiety, you know,
true.
Then like phone anxiety, there's that's kind of believable because there are people that would, you know, rather be hacked to pieces than call.
So it is something that Amber can relate to.
Although I probably would use... I might hesitate long enough trying to figure out how I was going to make the call or whatever that I'd end up eating.
Right. You might. Or what if there was a horror movie where the villain was a cell phone?
Oh, that's brilliant. Like, look, here's $2 million. You put up the spec script. We'll have it rewritten by, like 20 industry hacks.
It exists. It's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it's so bad that they make fun of it in the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall. They're like, weren't you in that movie with the evil cell phone? Like, why don't you just hang up?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Just get rid of it. It's the same way, like, there's some B-movie with, like, oh, it's the bed that eats people. Don't sit on the bed then.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Problem solved.
Yeah, just avoid the bed with the piles of blood and
yeah, bones. It's really like, not difficult.
One horror movie trope, I'm not sure if I've ever cared too much about it, but the whole, like in Babadook, how she destroys the book and it comes back, or she hides the book and it comes back. Like, that trope, like, I kind of understand, like, I guess it would be really terrifying if it actually happened.
Yeah.
But it's an odd, like, trope.
Yeah.
Yeah. It...
It's like that cat in that song.
That comes back the very next day. The cat that came back, but she thought he was a goner.
Yeah, that
one. Okay.
What were you saying, Daniel?
Oh, no. I don't know if I had anything to actually add to that. It's just some yes-anding.
Yeah, I think what is scary is a small world.
Mm.
You know, like, the Babadook is basically between the mother and her son.
Yeah.
You know, there are other people, but basically they're to be like, you're crazy, or he's crazy.
Yeah, and everything does just take place pretty much in the house.
Like, right.
That is.
Mm-hmm. And Contagion, it's one apartment building that is being closed off because it's infected. Which is, again, like, it makes sense that the police are like, no, we don't care about you as the individual. We care about society. You are staying in there.
Yep. There are a lot of good, like, one room, one location things.
And then it allows you to have human drama.
Yeah.
Rather than something like World War Z, where it's like, we're going to take a plane here. Minorities! We're going to take a plane here. More minorities. Thank God I'm Brad Pitt. Making bad decisions for no reason other than to ramp up. Like, the scare factor.
Right. Oh, but no, he was psychic white Jesus. He knew exactly what had to happen to allow him to, like, you know, save the world.
And there we have a cell phone, where why did you have your cell phone on?
Yes, top secret military expedition where everybody for sure would have been like, all right, now before we move out here, does everybody have your cell phone off? Actually, just leave it here.
Yeah.
We'll get it when we come back.
Trust me on this one, guys. We have radios, like, just leave it. No. And people die because of that, and it makes no sense. And when you're yelling at the main character for being such an idiot, you don't care. You want him to die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of horror is, there should be a just punishment for you.
Mm. Right. Or at least, like, a lot of slasher-type horror. Like, you do have to justify it somewhat.
Yeah, I have to say, almost every slasher sort of movie, they're just knife fodder. They're going to die. We want them to die. Right. The fun is in seeing them hacked to pieces. Our protagonist is the villain.
Yeah. Yeah. I was getting kind of crazy because the Rob Zombie kind of almost created an anti-genre for that, because like Halloween flips that on its head, where again the slasher becomes like not the character that you root for, and really, like, there's no good reason for most of the people to die.
Yeah.
Just sort of. But that is, like, a big, probably a lot of what bothers me about it, is that it just kind of, you know, there's no point, kind of.
Yeah.
It's just,
that reminded me of another movie that did, I think, it freaked me out a little bit when I was little. Or at least, how you were talking about it, after consequences, like, you were covering your mouth and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah, the
was Tremors.
Oh, that was one of my favorite movies.
I know,
man.
It's amazing! I've seen it so many times!
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're terrified of a giant worm coming out of the ground, there's nothing you can do.
Right, well, especially not, like...
I was scared of that.
Imagine living in the desert when that came
out. Yeah, I know, right?
That was...
There was one thing I was at, like, it must have been a groundhog and its whole, like, pushing up the leaves or something. And I was like, holy shit!
It's happening!
Yeah. So Tremors is a really good movie, and that can have
consequences. I kind of want to see that again. Like,
me
I,
too.
I,
we should watch
I
that.
I feel that it would hold up. Like, it was. I don't think it was.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, in the first place, it was not trying to take itself seriously. So I think it would have a better chance to hold up. Also, all the effects are practical. So,
which definitely helps.
Yeah,
because I'm not scared by CGI, no matter what it does. Because it falls into the uncanny valley, like, oh, I just don't
care about
that.
It has to be really well done, but it's still almost always, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, another, The Thing, that was another really good one in a similar vein. Like, the dog melting scene, that one kind of got to me for a while. Like just the imagery was distressing enough at the time. Like,
yeah.
And again, same thing with the idea of, like, there's also nothing you can really do to fight it. You can't punch it.
Have you seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie?
Actually, yes. And I remember it being hilarious because I didn't see it until you know, too late.
Well, I saw it when I was very young, and it definitely panicked me a little bit because you have to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's like the inevitability.
Yeah, sleep
like,
stuff is always...
The ground is everywhere. What are they called in Tremors? Graboids?
Graboids was something the name that came up with them, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, but you know, you have
giant
to walk...
Giant sandworms.
Yeah, you have to walk on ground, you have to go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't have to go to Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah. It's true.
You're like, wait, people keep dying at Camp Crystal Lake? Yeah. Why don't you pave it over?
Yeah.
Right. Or just close it down.
Yeah. No one wants to go there anymore.
Yeah.
No.
And being said, you know, no one would go there. No, people would totally... Oh, is that the camp where people died? Like, I know people who, like, do urban exploration in a burned-out insane asylum.
It's like that thing that you talk about that with some urban legends, like, someone will go...
Oh, yeah, legend tripping.
Yeah, but then they end up dying and it gets attributed to the legend.
So you cause the legend to come true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that also like creates a you know media justification because then it's oh you went to the place where all the people are dying on purpose. All right, then you know that we're not going to feel as bad when you get hacked to death.
Because... Bringing this to the real world and also horribleness. Mm-hmm. There's a place called Onion Town.
Yeah,
not too far from us. It is severely impoverished. All it's honestly like just a street by Amenia, New York. Do not go there. Because the people are very impoverished. I admit that I went there once. We drove up, we drove down. It was eerily quiet. The thing that stood out to me, really, is that someone had created a fountain entirely made of, like, plastic garbage. Like, the sort of, like, crappy toys you throw away. And they'd made a fountain in their front yard. I say front yard, but it really was, like, a trailer and then some grass and a big plastic fountain made of like stuck together plastic stuff. But legend tripping, we've had people go there. There are videos of this, and the residents do not appreciate this and will throw huge rocks at their car or shoot at them.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're like, oh, it's like the hills have eyes. They're all inbred, etc. But they're just normal people who are very poor.
How shitty would that be to be if you were stuck in that location?
Yeah.
And it's so poor that, the school system, like, they go to a regular public school nearby.
Right.
They have to hide the kids, find out which kids live in Onion Town.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure that would be, like immediate. But that's, well, okay, that brings up whole other issues of, like, again, it's really hard to say we have a functioning society when communities like that are possible.
Right, and it's so strange because, you know, all around is, like, there's Dover, like, it's not an impoverished area, and then there's...
Right. Which means I wonder what the history is. Like, it almost certainly was, there was probably a factory nearby that moved, or the industry got bought up, or, you know.
Yeah, but... I know that people have gone to the police and it's like, oh, they damaged my car. And the police's response is like, why did you go to Onion Town?
Right.
You got what you wanted. They threw rocks at you. You deserve that.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say, I'm sure some people accidentally go down there and get rocks thrown at them, too. But...
Well, there's not even a sign for Onion Town anymore.
Yeah.
You just have to know where it is.
Well, in the, like, on the one hand, you know, I'm never on the side of victim blaming, and on the other hand, like, I don't really know what the police could do in that case. Like,
no, I guess the police are like, you know, the Onion Town people take care of themselves. We're not going there, you know, unless you make us, unless there's like a murder, we're not going to Onion Town.
Yeah.
And why should we? Yeah.
Yeah.
They really, you know, it's like the whole, I don't know, like, urban or crime-riddled areas need as much patrol as non ones.
Yeah.
I think that's a current issue, I think.
Well, generally, you know, there's the old adage, like strong communities don't need police, necessarily. Sure. And unfortunately, the basic blueprint for American communities, I'm making air quotes, is, like, the weakest possible ones. You don't generally know your neighbors. You don't work in your, you know, you don't work in your community. You usually have to go somewhere else. And, you know, combined with working exceedingly long hours, like, there's no impetus. There's no incentive. There's nothing to really cause you to develop community with the people around you. Like, if anything, you're always kind of pitted against them because, you know, maybe you're competing for jobs in the area or, maybe because you're all poor, you have to worry about stealing from each other or, you know, whatever it is.
It's, yeah. There was a video that I saw where these, I'm going to call them dude bro douchebags, though we don't really see them in the video.
But you repeat yourself.
I can assume, because they're flying a video drone through a very depressed urban center.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the extent where, I may be misremembering this, but I know there's garbage everywhere. There's, like, broken windows. Yeah. I think that there's a trash can on fire. Like, they didn't set this up.
Wow.
And then their drone, like, falls down. And they rush up to get it. And you see, like, all these people emerge from, or, like, they're still on the street. And they're just, they're coming to attack these guys. And I think that they got their drone and, like, backed up. Yeah. But that I found scary. Oh, you know, yeah. I don't relate to the people in the car. But that seems like a very scary situation.
Oh, yeah, no, any time you're faced with, like, the power of the mob, like, regardless of what it's doing, it's, yes, like, it's the same thing as facing down, like, an earthquake or something. Like, it's, because, yeah, again, there's nothing you can do to fight that, like, yeah, except run.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the feeling I definitely got from the mob was, like, we have done this before.
Right.
Like, we're going, like, they might have died.
Yeah, and intruders, you know. It,
yeah,
it's
disrespectful intruders. Like, you obviously don't belong here.
Yep. Yeah. I thought they were also just trying to get the drone, you know, too.
They might have probably been.
I mean, again, you know, with drones are a known quantity for a lot of people. So, like that's going to be, I don't know, angering and terrifying all in itself. Like oh, this robot fell from the sky that was videotaping us.
Yeah.
I'd want to go punch it.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. Do you remember the Dawn of the Dead remake?
Yeah, of course, because it's one of the better movies in existence.
I agree with that. And the first 15 minutes, like, when the zombie plague is beginning, and you're just seeing society fall, that frightened me.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie was a zombie movie.
Yeah, no, that definitely has one of the most effective openings, like, it really, the only thing I could think of to compare it to would be, like, the opening sequence in The Last of Us, which is probably the only other thing I can think of
that
did a good job of that.
That's the one with the little girl, right?
Yeah. Like, they escape all the chaos.
Yeah.
Everything goes to shit, and then of course, you know, the military ends up being the problem.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think Last of Us was very effective because I'm like, oh, I like this little girl. I'm glad we get to play with.
Yeah, yeah. Aww.
Wait.
Yeah, that was.
So there's my sadness and horror again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And definitely that one, like, I still kind of describe that as the best zombie movie never made since it's, you know, an actual video game. But it does, again, also do that very good thing of it kind of forces you to make connections to these characters and in some cases, literally putting you in their feet.
Yeah.
And not, it wasn't a throwaway either. Like, you spend a fair amount of time in this little, like, enough time in this little girl's brain or, you know, body to kind of get a taste of what her life is like and you know, that whole reality. And in any other game, that would have been the protagonist. So, you know, when the shock comes, it's completely out of nowhere. And then.
Yeah, it's very well done.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Naughty Dog.
The bastard.
Naughty, naughty dog.
Mostly because it's still PlayStation exclusive.
Aww.
Buy that shit in a second on Steam.
Yeah, you hear that? We have money we want to get.
Yeah. But only if it's through Steam.
It's probably true, yeah. I used to date a woman who was a third Don Black Belt at this point. Basically, she could have kicked all of our asses without really thinking about it. But she was terrified of ghosts.
Well, again, you can't punch them.
Exactly what the issue was.
I don't know. I've seen Supernatural. I'm pretty sure you can punch them as long as you're, metal.
Right. You need some preparation work first. Right. You have to...
But basically, she was scared of things that she knew she couldn't control. Right. And that part of becoming such a badass motherfucker was she had to be scared of fewer things because she could punch them.
That's almost always at the forefront of wanting to learn to defend yourself. I had my story about getting sucker punched and I don't know, whatever the transition from elementary to junior high was, and then all of a sudden being like, oh, I should probably learn things to do.
Apparently that's what John Cena did. I think it was John Cena. Hmm. Because he got picked on a lot and he's like, all right, I'll just bulk up and become a professional wrestler. He actually became a professional wrestler, supposedly, because he auditioned for the voice of Ron Stoppable from Kim Possible and he didn't get it. So he's like, well, I'll be a professional wrestler. And then
that's hilarious. Isn't he isn't he the really good dude that has like the record for numbers of Make-A-Wish Foundation wishes?
Yes, that is John Cena.
Yeah.
He's good people. And that's partially I was bullied. Yeah. I'm going to take care of the helpless.
Right, which, not the subject we were planning on talking about, but that actually has been, like the whole theory of, bullies become bullies has mostly been disproven, actually.
Yeah.
Because, a lot of times people who are bullied tend to go the opposite way, and same thing with people who are abused, it also doesn't tend to go the way that
that is true. Sometimes that is how fetishes occur, which is terrifying.
Yep.
Well, actually Dan Harmon ends up talking about that a lot, because he has a very specific memory of having been under his kitchen table and while his aunts were over. And now he has a thing for stockings and feet. That weird idea that we have kind of talked about that before. Also, just the weird idea that you don't really get to control what. Well, actually, we talked about it last time. You don't really get to control what makes your brain tick. What catches your attention? It's all your genetics and random experiences and.
True.
That's terrifying.
It is kind of terrifying. I mean, that sort of goes along with body horror, that there are things going on in your brain and you have no way to control it.
Yeah.
I know, sort of going with body horror, I was in college biology class and they put electrodes on my arm and the teacher was manipulating my hand and I was not moving without me telling it to. Really, I blanched. I lost all the blood in my face. I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom now.
Right.
I need to not be here. I can't handle this. And I've been listening to a podcast. It was talking about horsehair worm, which infect grasshoppers.
They
will infect anything with a good, insect belly. Right. But then it just, the worm is the entirety of the grasshopper. It's just full of worm. Yeah. Or... I've seen the spider that got squished.
Mantis. Mantis was the video I saw.
Ah. And it's, there's body horror. There's something that's controlling your brain.
Yeah.
Even Toxoplasmosis gondii, 50% of people have this parasite in them, and it changes the way they think.
Right.
The study I saw said that it made men stupid and women slutty. But what it boiled down to is risk-taking behavior.
Yeah.
Because when it infects a mouse, the mouse goes out in the middle of the day, in the middle of the room, and smacks the cat in the face. So it gets eaten into the cat's stomach, and then it can reproduce in there and spread through cat poop.
Yes.
But it's in human beings, and it has an effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the effect it was supposed to have, but yeah, it definitely still has an effect.
And you can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's right. You can't willpower your way out of.
And all three of us probably have it.
Don't think we do.
Higher than likely if we've had extensive cat interaction. Yeah. But
I don't think I do.
Really?
Yeah, really though, like, you still sort of have to, like, have contact with the cat's poop and have it get into your system. So, like, it's still slightly less likely to happen if you're not actively, you know, playing with your cat's poop.
Yeah.
There's
also, alright, there's this isopod that eats the tongue out of a fish. And I mean,
the fish one.
And then it replaces it, right?
Right. But the fish, like, the fish can't do anything about it. It's not like, let me get it with my hands.
Yeah, no. It's just in there. And then even though it's like, hey, I'll help you catch food.
Yeah.
You know, you still just, like, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't ask for that.
Yeah, you ate its tongue. And then you latched to its tongue stump.
Yeah, shit, I cannot remember the name of the author, but there is an amazing book on parasitology called Parasite Rex. It's, you know, it's, you should be able to find it pretty easily, but it's one of the, you know, it just talks about all of these, you know, it kind of goes to microscopic parasites up to the macroscopic parasites, and then, you know, just kind of talks with a bunch of different parasitologists, and it's all interesting stuff, especially like how sophisticated parasites are while also being like exceedingly simple. Like whenever they see very complex behavior from the parasite, like for it trying to find, you know, the kind of navigating through your body to find the right source or spot that it wants to get to, it always turns out that the mechanism for it doing that is really simple or stupid. Like it just, you know, it's only looking for one specific type of you know, molecule and is programmed to flip a certain number of times until it reaches the top of your you know, endometrial, not endometrial, but I don't know. Anyways, it's very interesting, but it all does kind of come down to that. And it also kind of talks about the history of parasitology, which was, you know, for a long time, parasites were seen as an affront to God's innate work because they're devolving or they're going backwards, you know? So like for a long time, it wasn't really considered valid as a field, and yet
you all had fleas, so what do you want to do about that?
Right, it's cool stuff.
If you have fleas, you should roll around in diatomaceous earth.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how effective that would be.
Although, isn't that also bad for you?
It's bad if you breathe it in.
Well, we do like to breathe.
Yeah, so maybe rolling not the best option.
So, Amber, have you ever personally had, like, a frightening experience? Like,
probably. I mean, I've had, like, I don't know, weird experiences. Like, I've had panic attacks, which are scary.
Yeah.
Especially, I had a recent one that I got,
hyperventilated.
Yeah, hyperventilated. And that was really scary. Because I'm usually in very good control of my breathing. And I wasn't anymore.
Yeah, being out of control is frightening. Especially of your body, because that's what you're supposed to be in control of.
With me, specifically, of breathing, too. That's my main thing, is I like breathing.
Yeah.
I know, it's out there. Like me to breathe.
Yeah.
Now, are you sure you like to breathe, or is it just that you're so addicted to it?
No, I like breathing. Maybe I'm addicted to it, too.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I don't think I can stop, so.
No, you almost actually can't.
Yeah.
Although
withdrawal from breathing tends to kill people.
That's true.
It's very effective at it, actually.
Yeah. Unless they put you in that liquid.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're still breathing there.
Yeah. Like
No, your body has little mechanisms.
Did you know when you're a baby in your mother's room, you scream? Or you cry and scream and no one can hear you? Because you're in fluid.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's right. The terror of early life.
Yep.
Screaming into a void that does not care about you.
Yeah, and it's not just practice, I guess. Right. Like, they did it that they made, like, a really loud noise while they were ultrasounding a baby or whatever, and the baby started crying.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, which is interesting because it, you know, it's another one of those things that sort of, I don't know, I don't really think that you retain much of your experiences in the womb, even though, like, you know,
it still might affect your development.
Yeah, it can affect your development, yeah, but I don't really think you actually retain specific memories in most cases, or like, you know, I don't know that it has like clearly the womb is not the most this bastion of comfort as poets and artists have been describing it for, you know, eternity.
But at the same time, like, any sort of like chemical thing can affect your, like, there are people who, like, that guy who had heart surgery or whatever when he wasn't under anesthesia,
right?
Or like it didn't affect him, and like it totally skewed his view of pain.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if you're constantly crying in your room, it might like change your brain chemistry while it's
physiologically you would change.
I mean, on I guess with, you know, chromosomes and all that.
We as a species want to survive. So if the baby in the womb is like, this is a really harsh place where things scream at you a lot, it will adapt to that before it's even out of the womb.
So we could end up accidentally developing, you know, a generation of really tough survivor babies, even though they come from, you know, families who are exceedingly well off, but just thought it would be funny to constantly mess with them.
They frown upon that.
Like,
was it Skinner who conditioned a child to be terrified of white fuzzy things?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, but every time he approached one, they think they, like, played an air horn. And then they're like, well, we better uncondition him now, because that's fucked.
It was like, it was like a stuffed rabbit or something, and then it, like, transferred over to all white fuzzy things.
Well, because, again, unfortunately with babies, like, they're designed to learn everything super fast, so it's really, it's probably really hard actually to, like, you know, break those associations even early.
I was thinking about colors, like, sometimes some people joke about teaching their kids the wrong colors for things. And there was someone who was trying to teach his kid what his favorite color is, like, I heard, and even now that the kid's older, the kid's like, yeah, green's my favorite color, but I also like blue or something now.
That's weird.
Like, the kid know, like, I think the kid has sort of realized, you know, the kid knows that that's the answer his dad wants. But at first, that was the answer that he'd get. Like, that was, he was like, your favorite color is green. He's like, yeah, that's my favorite color.
Yeah. Well, it does, like, I was musing on this about other things, but it does feel good to say yes, even if it's not something, you know. In the moment, it's fun to say yes.
You hear that, ladies? Daniel thinks you should say yes, because it will be fun if you say yes. That's what Daniel said.
Say yes to murder husbands!
Sure. But look, we got to get murder wives somehow.
No murder husbands. No murder wives.
Oh, so now you're discriminating? Is that how it's going to be?
No,
I find that frightening.
Specifically talking about a specific murder husbands.
Right. Well, but you said murder husbands without, you know,
context.
Yes.
Everything has to do with Hannibal, Daniel, whoever's here.
Look, what's hilarious is you know, I was into Hannibal way before you were.
So, but now I'm more into it. He was one of my few role models growing up.
So there, Hannibal and Darth Vader raised me. Aww. Not really.
I was raised by cats and books.
No, I was raised by cats and ladies and Hannibal.
Well, then.
That explains everything. I think we're done with our sessions. We've identified what happened.
Yes, where the issue lies.
Yes.
So what else? What other horrible things? What are your deepest fears and terrors?
I used to be frightened of abandonment, but that's not a very sexy fear.
No, well, I was like, as soon as you phrased it that way, I was of course going to say yes. What do you care about most? Because that immediately informs what you're most terrified about. Because that would be losing it.
Yeah, I think that is why I want to have an emotional connection to something in horror, or I'm really not going to care if it gets slashed.
Yeah.
So I care most about breathing and being alive.
Yeah.
Well, you value your life, yes. And the idea that you would not be in control of your life anymore is unsettling.
I mean breathing specifically.
Yes, breathing's important. You would die pretty quickly without breath. That's but true. Are you scared of starving?
No.
No, and because you feel like you can do something about that. If I choke a bitch, you can't do much about that.
True.
Or like, if all the air leaves the room right now, you can't do much about that. You're going to die.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for adding new terrors to my drowning fear.
You know, statistically, you could, all the air could just turn to carbon dioxide. All the air could just leave this area. Do you know that happened once? There was a lake, and from beneath erupted methane, and it suffocated the entire town in their sleep. They just, there was no more oxygen. They all just died. That happened.
How did that happen? Why was there so much methane?
Underground methane, and it just exploded upward.
Like, so don't live near too many cows?
Well, no, it was an under. It was probably like actually because like, methane also I believe is you know it can be found in pockets.
Yeah,
so that's like what gas fields and gas pocket.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
Yeah, yep. So obviously,
thanks.
Well, I mean, and then you have the.
I'm gonna go buy an oxygen tank.
The mega caldera of Yellowstone.
True.
Where, you know, we live in New York, listeners. But if it exploded, we'd pretty much be screwed.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't survive that experience.
It's not too likely to happen, though. It's more likely for it to just be a series of little tiny things constantly.
And that's what so far is what has happened. But it did explode before, like 6.5 million years ago, and it's about due.
Well, just write the spec script for, you know, Yellowstone... And
I'm
it'll
surprised
be,
it isn't a movie already. It probably is.
It'll be a movie. It'll have a subplot about how fracking is what made it happen.
True.
Which,
from what I heard recently, is the continuing it to be the little things is way more likely than a sudden big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's similar to like you know California falling off the face of the, you know falling off the
yeah,
the,
which is
the
becoming more likely
because of fracking.
No, because of well, the drought.
Yeah.
Fracking wouldn't
be helping.
Yeah.
Did you know that there are about as many people looking for interstellar objects that could hit us as there are that staff mid-sized McDonald's?
Yep.
And we're cutting their funding. We're going to have fewer of those.
Yeah.
And so really, like, and it won't be a space cowboy sort of situation. Like, if it's coming... We can't do anything about that except die.
That's why looking for it probably wouldn't be worth much effort. It's more worth spending that manpower and energy towards finding a way to protect us against it.
We're not doing
or getting us off the planet
either.
Yeah.
We're not doing either of those things really.
But you see why
yes.
Watching for it isn't as important as
you have to do both because like it would if we make an observation and are able to say, oh, that is going to hit us in, like, you know, 60 years, because of kind of the time scales you're usually looking at, you know, that changes the way that the entire world, you know, acts about it. But, like, if you don't have any intel on it and you're just like, well, it might happen. We don't know.
It might happen all the time. Like, it came really close fairly recently.
It comes really close more often than they tell us.
Not in
a conspiracy way, that just legitimately is what happens.
Right. Yep. Well, in almost one of those, like, they'd have to be telling us so often that, you know.
Yeah.
But again, really close is still, you know, we're talking, you know, stellar distances. It's not a few feet. And no giant heads have showed up to ask us what we, you know, to show them what we got yet.
Yet. But it could happen. I know in middle school, my English teacher asked us what our fears were. And I told her my nuclear annihilation ones. But a lot of people who made fun of me for my interest in the paranormal said that they were frightened that they would be abducted by space aliens.
Yep.
And that does not scare me even a little bit. I would be happy, be like, proof! This is great! Just could you write a few things down for me? Just so we're clear.
Wait,
but
so
maybe
you're
the one.
Because it's evidence.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the one who terrified all of these children into the idea of being abducted.
Maybe. And they deserve that. You hear that? My 7th grade English class? You deserve to be frightened because you made fun of me.
Yeah.
I deserve to be fun of all my art projects had gray aliens in them, but you were still wrong.
Not purple aliens, gray.
No, I mean, that's the species of aliens. The Zeta Reticuli from the Pleiades, Amber.
A-Lamos in the XCOM community, parlance.
See, they're indoctrinating us. That's why we know what they look like. They're slowly conditioning us.
Right. That and zombies. So, yeah. So that when they finally show up, we won't be that surprised, but we're also going to be, like, you know, sort of unsure if we're actually supposed to fight them or not.
So, is this legitimately Plan 9 from Outer Space?
Yeah, yeah, just the updated version.
Yeah.
With, you know.
The effects are still not great. Sorry, guys.
Pretty good. Yeah, no.
What else do we have? Your fears represent what you want to lose the... Or you don't want to lose the most. Your fears represent what you don't want to lose the most. It's not about zombies. It's about losing civilization, which protects you.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, it's assuming you value that.
Yeah.
Is it more terrifying not to have things you value enough to be afraid of losing? That of course is me like saying that's you know, that's something that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, some of us have a hard time valuing things.
Yeah, and I would say like most fears I currently have are like the fear of missing out. This is not Halloween centric, but the idea that things are going on and maybe I'm not doing the right thing, you know, maybe I should have gone back to school, you know. All of that sort of stuff, the fear of missing out, I think is the most prevalent fear of our generation.
Yeah.
And it does control our behavior a great deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there's
the popularity of, like, social media and everything.
Right, exactly. And constantly, you know, having the cell phone out and the sharing thing.
And I'm not anti-technology. I love my smartphone. I resisted it for so long, but no, it's really handy to have around.
I wish my smartphone was a little bit better. I love it too.
I'll get you a new one.
I'll get me a new one.
Okay. Unfortunately,
my two jobs.
Good job.
Would that be your rapper name? Two jobs with a Z.
No.
And a two.
Well, we know that name isn't taken.
What?
I'm not sure what you're implying. So.
I don't know, but it sounded vaguely racial.
Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's all right. You were raised in a racist culture. You can't.
It's
help
true.
It.
I fear that I was.
there's Best of the Left is a podcast that kind of collects all the news items on a topic and then kind of, you know, we'll present them. But they have caller segments at the end, and there's this one dude who's very conservative, but I don't know why he listens to it. Maybe just to get angry. But every now and then he'll call in and like very specifically about women's equality issues, he's on board. And it's because his wife frequently gets harassed in her workplace. So he has like a personal connection. And, you know, about that one issue, he'll be right there with you on the picket lines. But almost anything else, like social policy or you know, financial policy, anything like that. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, he's a hardcore right wing fellow again.
Well, I mean, really I do weird. Think, again, not being a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, those in power definitely use our fear to corral us and distract us.
Yeah. But again, kind of like we talked on the last one, unfortunately, all the stuff that makes that possible is also, those are the same mechanisms that even allow us to congregate in groups and be effective as a collective. But unfortunately, you know, can also be turned against us. There is crab maintenance going on, so.
Bugs! So other fears?
Do you fear anything else?
Final fears?
I used to fear mind control and electricity.
Electricity?
Well, in the specific case of being electrocuted and passing out.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, which I don't think actually happens, but I don't know. It happens in Gargoyles all the time.
I got electrocuted a couple times, and I was okay.
But actually, like, it is funny. That's usually the one thing in movies with, like, a really powerful, like hero character that usually knocks them out is the electricity.
But I don't think that's even a little bit accurate.
No.
But we do use, like...
It can incapacitate you, definitely.
Yeah,
but
and it's true. Like,
you
know,
I think
tasing.
Anything that would knock you out would probably also kill you, because it'd be knocking you out by... stopping your heart.
True.
That's true. But we, in mental hospitals, they like electrocute your head. I don't know if they do it anymore.
Oh, right. But that's also simulating a concussion or like
that's true. So I can sort of knock you out, but it wouldn't be like, I will shoot lightning bolt at you. It's like, let me just apply these pads to your head.
Yeah. Well, and when they're doing it as a therapy.
It is.
They give you muscle relaxants and things like that's not what's knocking you out.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, like, just make sure you always leave two blue open so you can always counterspell if you're worried about, you know.
What? Two blue open?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or actually, like, if you need to do a stifle, I think you did. It's just one.
Oh, is this a magic reference?
Yeah, because stifle will stop activated abilities of, you know. So if you're worried about being mind controlled by Mind Slaver, then, you know, you can,
yeah, you I can don't stifle like the control. Effect.
I respect that. I don't like it either. Oh, I don't fear it, but I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't know.
There was something. It was a movie or something that I don't remember. I probably don't remember it well enough to bring it up. That had, like, mind control as a major plot point. And I was like, yes, this is my jam. But I don't remember what it is
your
anymore.
Fear jam?
My fear jam. Mm.
Do you fear, like, losing loved ones?
Yeah.
But not much. You kind of just shrug that off.
It's a different sort of fear.
Okay. It's like a paranoia. Like, I knew a woman who was so terrified of snakes that talking about dragons in her presence, and she'd be like, I have to go. I can't deal with this.
Yeah. Maybe she just knew, like the symbolic, like, history of them, and was like, I know that those are just big snakes with feathers. Yeah.
Well, like, she claimed that once when she was a child, a herd of snakes attacked her. And I'm like, there are no herds of snakes. Snakes do not herd.
Did she live, like...
Did she fall into a viper pit?
Yeah, I was going to say, there are certain species of, like rattlesnake that congregate in these gigantic, like, caverns sometimes to hide out the winters and all of that.
Wow. But maybe that's the experience she had.
Yeah. Or maybe it was just like she happened upon a gaggle of baby snakes.
Or she watched it.
Yeah.
I have specific fears sometimes. Like, if I'm driving a car behind you driving a car, my fear is that something like a horrible accident will happen to you in front of me.
Yeah.
That sounds more like an intrusive thought than a fear, though. Are you actually scared?
Would be a fear.
Okay.
I'm afraid of it happening. Afraid that it could happen.
Does it, like, keep you up at night?
I guess it could.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't be, like, sleeping when you're driving. That's
a problem. Maybe it is.
Have you ever had a really good Halloween? Like, what is your archetypical Halloween memory?
I don't know. I've had a lot of good Halloweens. I guess in college were some of my favorite Halloweens.
Okay.
Going trick-or-treating with Laurel was awesome.
Yeah.
She also didn't have trick-or-treating in St. Lucia.
Yeah.
So it was her first Halloween, too.
She was just freaking out.
She's amazing on Halloween. Yeah, she just freaks out. But then, like, forgets about it and runs up just as fast to the next house and something scares her.
Yeah.
That does sound fun.
It's pretty fun.
So is she the person that all those, like, you know, fake... The bowls that try to grab you. Is that who she's... Is
pretty
she
much,
the one
yes.
they're targeting?
Yeah. That sounds right.
It's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Halloween with Laurel was pretty fun. I had a lot of good Halloweens in college. I've had a lot of good Halloweens in general. Yes. I think I stopped trick-or-treating a year or so after college. It didn't last long after college.
Mm-hmm. Too much work?
Well, I was in a specific situation that I couldn't trick-or-treat, and I just haven't bothered since. Because now I am kind of too old to trick-or-treat.
No, we just put a binder on you, it would be fine.
But I also, like, don't have groups of other people trick-or-treating to go with.
Yeah, I couldn't get away with it.
You see what I mean?
I'd be your creepy uncle.
Like, I could go. Like, we could go trick-or-treating with the nieces and nephews, but it wouldn't be as much fun.
No.
You know? Yeah, basically the specific situation was I had to drive my sister to college and for, like, a rehearsal, and then I had to drive her back. So I had to hang around her college all Halloween, and it's illegal if you're over a certain age to trick-or-treat around there.
Yeah.
Plus, I wouldn't have known anyone to trick-or-treat with, but So I couldn't trick-or-treat that year, and I haven't since. How long did you guys trick-or-treat? Did you trick-or-treat?
Probably too long. But I figured, like, if I wore a mask, and the woman I was dating when I was trick-or-treating for too long, she just loved the idea, she loved candy. I was not such a big fan of candy, but it still was fun to do, just wander around.
Well, yeah, a lot of things can be fun if you're with somebody that also finds them fun, even if you don't have a specific connection to them.
You definitely, the minute you have the thought of, you know, I would make more working 2 hours at my job than I could possibly get in candy. And do I really want, like, $15 worth of candy? I don't. What will I do with that? Yeah, then you're done. You have aged out.
Yep.
Final thoughts? Amber.
We need more Hannibal.
Final thoughts on this topic? Amber.
We need more Hannibal to fulfill my horror romance food desires. Art. Anatomical. Metaphysical.
Fine. Daniel.
Love crime.
Final thoughts.
Existential loneliness is, you know, pretty awful.
Yeah.
Death is the enemy.
Death is the enemy.
I disagree.
Suicide is the enemy.
I think death is the enemy, but it's
the friend. It's the release valve. As Nietzsche said, thoughts of death have gotten many through a long night, who otherwise would not have. I'm paraphrasing that badly. It's probably Zarathustra. I don't know. Anyways.
Although death herself is pretty cool.
It depends on which fandom or which.
And just the concept series. Of a death character is pretty cool.
Giving embodiment to cosmic forces. It's mostly just because it's kind of messy in a way, because, like, if you give death an embodiment, then you have to give life an embodiment. And then you're just playing
life
out.
Life can be the embodiment of life.
Huh?
Life can be the embodiment of life. There's so
well,
many
no, no, but if you've
living.
Given if you've given one abstract concept in the reality, like an
no,
embodiment, you have to do it for all of them. Otherwise,
especially
it doesn't make
not
sense.
Life.
Why
because
not?
Death works as like a reaper, as someone who takes you from being alive to being dead.
Well, no, because
it's
the ultimate
position more than an abstract concept.
Let me tell you
something about life.
You're bizarre.
That motherfucker keeps giving me lemons. I'm done with him.
It's true. And they make shitty lemonade. No, because, you know, the real plot point would, of course, be that death is life, because that's
true.
Just what.
Or you have, like, a mothering figure, which would also be possibly a life, or the
right.
Earth is a life
but
force.
She'd still be, you know, death, because life doesn't care about life. Life only cares about life, not individual, you know, motes. Those are pointless as long as there's still two bacteria replicating.
There was like a bad guy enough. Or something who really loved death so much that he kept
that's
killing
Thanos.
People. Yes. Thanos, there we go.
Yes, who will be showing up probably in Civil War in the end credits, while we're building up to the Infinity War.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like death as a character. Daniel disagrees.
I just think it's messy. I'm not into that.
You're not in the personification of any embodiment of abstract thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Jack Skellington, the personification of Halloween?
What about the pumpkin? The great pumpkin, personification of giant pumpkins.
Wasn't there supposed to be a war between Jack and the Pumpkin King?
That would be awesome.
I'd watch that.
Like, yeah.
The great pumpkin, Daniel.
That's this pumpkin Jack's, head.
Jack Skellington is the Pumpkin King.
But he's not a pumpkin.
But he's still the Pumpkin King.
Then what about Pumpkinhead? Because I feel Pumpkinhead should have.
Who's Pumpkinhead?
Well, you'll just have to Google that and find out.
That's right.
Pumpkins may be vampires too.
It's true.
Okay.
Is that all? Bye.
Spooky.
Spooky skeletons.